You know, it's really not fair when God begins to work on you because you think, well, you know, I got this figured out. I know what I'm doing. And God says, uh-uh. You know, I planned this sermon series over a month and a half ago, all the way through this month and November into December. And I'm just, you know, covering a text that's real familiar, and I know exactly what I'm going to talk about, you know, 6 weeks in advance, and comes the week of, and God says, uh-uh. You think you know what you're going to do. You think you know something, but my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. And so, when this week began to unfold, this text passage began to unfold in a new way. And I invite you to turn with me into Ephesians chapter 6 with the full armor of God. You want to hold that up? That thing right there? That thing, it's a breastplate. Hold that up. That's a breastplate. And the sword, James, hold that one up with the rope on it. That's a sword. Y'all can see the breastplate and the sword. They are in the armor of God in this chapter. We look at it, and I hope you understand that Paul, when he writes this, puts this in context beginning at the very first verse. I always like to talk about the different parts of the armor, but God has something else for us this morning. And today, although you may think I'm preaching to you, I'm preaching to me. So if you say, preacher, you talking to me today? Uh-uh. I'm talking to me today. But it might come into your backyard a little bit too. And that's the prayer that it does. Otherwise, I'm beating myself to death for nothing. Flapping my lips, if you will. And don't want to do that. We look at verse 10, beginning there. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, sometimes your word rings so clear and so true that we can't get around it, can't get over it, can't get under it, can't turn away from it, can't avoid it. And you call us to go through it and let it go through us and transform us to the people you need us to be. Heavenly Father, may this word today be such for us. May the strength of your word and your spirit upon us inhabit this place now, inhabit our lives, our thoughts, our very being, so that we cannot avoid it. And may we go through to where you're leading us. Gracious Heavenly Father, we ask you this in the name of Jesus, so that the words in my mouth, the meditations in our hearts, and the thoughts in our minds would be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord God, our strength, our rock, and my Redeemer. Amen. I don't know if you ever heard of the word synergy. Synergy is a term that means everything is in harmony together, working for the same purpose. Seems that way today in the worship service. The children doing some armor, and Saul's armor is too heavy, didn't fit David right, and David had to come up, and he said, what did David say? Do you remember what he said? I come to you in the name of the Lord, under His authority, and you defy the living God. He took some authority, didn't he, over Goliath? And a little sling rock couldn't hurt anybody without the authority of God behind it. But with it, it can slay a giant, no matter how little the giant is. That's the biggest little giant I've ever seen. It also is true that, well, my sister was singing the second selection, that she talked about how Jesus could have stopped the process. But when we stop the process of God trying to transform us, we get stuck. Not only that, but nothing happens in our lives or for anybody else around us. And Jesus could have stopped that, but Scripture says He turned His face toward Jerusalem, set it like flint, like steel, and He would not deny that path. He talked about in Paul's writings, he says that Jesus, forgetting the shame of the cross, went ahead and pressed on. He kept going and going, no matter the adversity, because he knew God called him to a task. And as long as he kept going faithfully, God would get him where he was supposed to go. I don't know about you, but sometimes the enemy gets mighty big and looms large in our lives. At the nursing home this past week, we talked a little bit about how the devil looms as a lion in 1 Peter 5, trying to devour somebody. He's always looking for somebody. Usually, the weakest one is who the devil attacks. I want to share something with you, and I hope you can catch this, is that there is not an option in spiritual warfare. In other words, you don't have a choice on whether or not you're going to engage in the battle. It's going to happen sooner or later. Sooner or later, something's going to happen to challenge you in your life. Something's going to happen where you're going to say, this is big. Is it that moment, the moment you start going, okay, I got to start praying, I got to get ready to face this, and the devil's already got his fork sticking into you? Is that when you start preparing? Or is it before it ever happens? When do you start to get confidence that Christ Jesus can lead you through anything? Is it during the storm or before? Isn't it true that God will give us a mountaintop experience so we have confidence that He can get us through the valleys? Of course it's true. Sometimes those valleys can be really long and really dark and very scary. And sometimes we don't see the way out or the way through. But the fact is when you're in a valley, you can't go backwards up a mountain because that's the past. And the only way to go through it is to endure sometimes. And sometimes, Paul says, having done all you can to stand, you still got to end up standing, but you're not sure how. And that's why he says, to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Now think about that for a moment, if you would. When do you need God's strength the most? Is it when life is going well? Or is it when all of a sudden things start crumbling under your feet and you're not sure if the edge is going to give way? Normally we need His help when we really need His help. We can stand in His presence and worship, and when things are well, it's easy to give thanks. But when life falls apart around you, can you then? Can you be strong in the strength of the Lord then? Have you been through your battle preparations in the quiet times when things aren't so bad? Now listen to this scripture. It says that we need to put on the whole armor of God. Now, I don't know about you, but in this collection, I'm looking for a hammer. I'm looking for something big so I can swing it. Something I can hurl like a spear or a javelin so I don't have to get too close to the enemy. But it's just not fair because you look in the whole list, you only got one offensive thing, and that is a sword. And that means when you begin to fight, you're face to face with your enemy. You're not going to be able to walk away because they will be on your back. It says nothing about the covering for your back. It's the breastplate. It's the belt. It's the helmet. It's your feet. It says nothing about your back. Sounds like we're not supposed to retreat or turn around in the face of the enemy to go the other way. That means we got to go forward. Maybe you've heard this statement before, the only way out is through. You ever heard that before? You ever have an issue and you want to talk to someone about it, they say, you can't avoid that, you got to go through that. Sometimes we say, I need to pray through. That's an old time or a southern phrase I've heard a lot of times where you pray through something. The Gaithers even said in a song, I'm praying through. I'm praying through, I'm staying true till I pray through. And praying through means you pray till the answer comes. You pray till victory comes. Scripture says we wear God's armor on our life. Now, hold on a second. What is our armor? What do we wear if it's not God's armor? Well, we wear a quick wit. What else do we wear? Clothes, sir. That's right. We're clothed with our own sanity, our mind. We come up against some things bigger than us, and all we got is within our own frame. You know, it's really hard to beat someone when you don't even know how to fight them. Or if you don't have the proper equipment. But the purpose of the armor is to get you through something unharmed. And what we think about is protecting our frame. But you know what? The devil's going to attack, and the enemy will attack family, jobs, neighbors, friends, everything that we can't control. Inside of us, we can control how we think and feel. But externally, God's working on something to show us that He has to cover us in places we don't even look. Sometimes our home life can get pretty scary. Sometimes we don't even see it happening. All of a sudden, we get bad news. And we say, well, I didn't even see that coming. But God did. And if you're in His armor, He's going to get you through that. And there's a reason for it. Now, if you listen real carefully, it says that we cannot defeat this by self-will. Just because you want to doesn't mean you can win this thing. Doesn't happen that way. It says only by God and the power of His might can we get through. Now, again, the option isn't that we face the battle or not. The option is, how are we going to come out of it? Are we going to make it through in one piece or in pieces? Either way, it's going to happen and you're going to stare down the enemy. I remember many years ago, a country singer released a song called Face to Face. It talks about fighting with someone face to face and dealing with the wickedness that is in your life. Scripture says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood in that 12th verse. It's not a physical fight. It's supernatural now. You're no longer fighting like an army or an air force. It's a lot bigger battleground. And if you look, there are only three offensives that you have. Number one is prayer. To always pray and pray in the Spirit. The second thing in Scripture tells us is you overcome evil with good. You do good. And the third thing it says, And this is the only other offensive we got, and this is actually a tool, is the Spirit, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now, I want to share something with you. That doesn't mean this. If you look in the Greek, the word is not logos, which refers to word. It's rhema. If anybody knows what the rhema Word of God is, it's a lot different. And let me share with you what that's talking about. It's the authority that you have to speak God's Word, God's will, and God's purpose into a situation. However, if you don't know what God's trying to do through the situation or what His purpose and plan for your life is, you have no idea what's going to happen. Listen to David when he comes up to Saul. He says, this man comes and defies. Who does he have that right to do that, to defy the living God? How does he have that right? God's purpose is to destroy his enemies. And so Saul tries to put on his armor. It doesn't fit. It's too heavy, too big. David's just a little boy. And he says, I will kill this man. I fought lions. I fought bears. I fought wolves. And I defeated them by God's power in me. And God will not allow this man to defeat me. Now listen to an unprepared person and what they would have said. Well, someone's got to do it. I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm going to take something. I'm going to try and get this guy off his guard, you know, just try and wear him down. I'm just going to do what I can. Give me your armor. I'll hide behind it. And would you drag it out there for me? And I know he's big and I'm little, but, you know, I'm going to try my best. And it's all about me. But it's not about us. It's about God and what He's trying to do through us. And David knew that, and he says, God's coming against this man, not me. This man's defying God, not me. I'm not fighting the battle, God is. I'm just wearing the God's armor and He's going to take care of the battle. All I got to do is speak the authority that He's given me and say, I defy you to come against God. I defy you to thwart God's purpose in my life, in His nation's life. I defy you. I know who I am. I know what I stand for. I know where I belong and I know my purpose, and you're not going to stop me because God has set this in motion and I'm walking in His armor. And all I have to do is swing forth that word and it goes before me, and the enemy must obey. The enemy must listen. Because God's Word is sharper than any two-edged sword. And it cuts to the joint and the marrow. And divides between spirit and soul, even in the enemy. And will destroy the enemy and all those who come before you. If you read the Psalms, it says, 1,000 may fall on your left hand, 10,000 on your right. Your right. That is a fact. But it shall not come near you. So if you have this word that's your offense, then what are we to do to prepare? How do we move forward? Let me share with you how to do that. Because you need some tools, you need to know how to use them, right? Wouldn't be fair for me to say, okay, you got some tools, figure it out. First thing is it says prayer, and there's a reason for that. You have to pray for utterance. To pray for what God have you to say in that moment. But also, to understand God's purpose for you. Understand God's purpose in your life, that no matter what comes against that, it cannot succeed. Because God has established a purpose, and His plan will come to pass. Scripture says God's Word will not return void. That's what that's talking about. That God will bless you and strengthen you and challenge you along the line of where you're being attacked. The second thing is to realize that there is an other side of this. That one day the battle will be over. The question is, how will it end? What will it look like when it's over? We can say, boy, this is really scary time in my life. God's really coming at me and trying to challenge me to raise up and be strong and having done all I can to stand and trust Him. But I'm scared, and God, you know, it just doesn't seem like He's doing anything right now, and I'm impatient, and I really want God to act now. Here's what you do when you get that mindset. Simply say, God, show me what it's like when this is over. Remember, Jesus bore the cross because He knew there would be a victory. He didn't go in blind. He knew why He was doing what He was doing. If you know why and what your purpose is when the battle wages in your life, you're more than willing to stand for it. Could you imagine our soldiers going overseas and fighting for no purpose? Why would we fight for something and not have a reason? Most people would rather not fight than fight for no purpose. Something you can't believe in. So think about that. That on the other side, when it's over, and you've been faithful, and God has shown you His strength, it's kind of like this. All the world is falling apart around you, and then God does something. Looks like a coincidence, but there He is right at the right moment, and there's your answer, and you're through. And at that moment, you just want to shout. You know, say, I did it. We did it, God. We made it through. I don't know how it happened, but there was right there. I just should have trusted you even more, and I would have known. I wish I wouldn't have been so scared. But I know, God, you can get me through. And I know you can because you've done it before. It's just that each time there's a new battle, it's on bigger grounds. Folks, when I had one of my biggest trials early in life, I was in college. I mean, this was a big one. I was barely 18 years old, and I had to pay for my tuition. I didn't know anything about book funds or cafeteria funds or student loans at the time. I didn't know anything about it, and I only had 2 cents. I was flat busted. And I needed books for classes that started in 2 days. And I'm crying before the Lord. I said, God, you brought me here. You won't get... It was about books. And I was crying on my bed in my dorm room. And my roommate said, yes, God, about that yet? And I said, no, but, you know, He knows what I need. He said, did you ask Him about it in a way that says, God, will you get me some books? I said, no. And so immediately I said, God, I need some books. To me now, that sounds like a very immature thing. But at that time, it was huge. I mean, it was big. This was my life. All of a sudden in front of me. And as soon as I prayed, someone said, you want to go up front campus? I said, yeah, let's take a walk. And I walked up there, and the guy said, oh, by the way, I got to get some books. You want to go with me? I said, oh, great. And he said, you got a book slip? I said, book slip. I can't afford one. He said, you don't afford it. They give you one. You just go in there and ask for one. They give you credit. And then when your grants come through, it covers your credit. And I said, well, why did I cry about that? Why was I having to ask God for help with that? All of a sudden, I felt stupid for crying about it and even dumber for asking God to help something so simple. Now, isn't it true that each time God brings you through something, what happens is you feel dumb about worrying about it? But you know what? You've got to worry about it and fret over it until you realize your life is in God's hands. You're either going to look for a bigger hammer, or are you going to put the armor on? One or the other. And it says all you have to do is dress yourself up in truth, in righteousness. These are all part of God's holiness, salvation, peace, and carry forth faith as a shield. Because faith says, the enemy can come against me, but God says, I'm going through. and that faith leads the way. And the sword says, I have authority to win this. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, sometimes we want to say that our lives are completely yours, and yet we sometimes see something else comes between you and us. And you want nothing between us. You want us to come into a place where we cannot ignore that thing needs eradicated, whatever it is, because the battle lines always come along the line of our weakness, our flaws, our stubbornness, our pride. And you're always trying to mold us to be more like you along those lines. Heavenly Father, I ask as we come before you today that you'd help us to face up to those things in us, that when we come face to face with the enemy, there's nothing he can attack there. That when he looks and say, there is a person and I find no line of attack, because this person is completely shed in God. Heavenly Father, may that be us. In the name of Jesus, amen.